friends, in September last month, you read in the Daily Bread this story, and it's about Frank Borman. Frank Borman commanded the first space mission that circled the moon. And he said, you know, he enjoyed the weightlessness of being in space, and it was awesome. He said the crew of the spaceship, they were taking photos of the moon and everybody was excited, but then they became bored and unimpressed. They found that they were getting motion sickness and so on. And they looked at the moon as a gray wasteland and they were just bored to death. Here was Frank, who went where no one had been before. But it wasn't enough. He got quickly tired of an experience that was out of this world. It reminded me also of when Helen and I go to Europe. And we've been to many European countries, and everyone it's just breathtaking. We can't get enough of it. We walk around to the cathedrals. We go and sit in the parks. We go to the castles. And on the train, our eyes are out of the windows looking at all the beautiful scenery and so on. And when you look around in the train, you see people looking as bored to death as possible. They are blasé. The word blasé simply means unimpressed or indifferent to something because they have experienced or seen it too often before. And when I thought about this, and I was sharing this with my wife and with my children, this is how many people feel about their Christian faith. Many people started off excited. They wouldn't miss anything. They couldn't read enough. They couldn't study enough. They couldn't do enough. But have become blasé about it. Indifferent. Unimpressed. Because they have experienced it too often before. Now, friends, this is a difficult message for me to preach. Because when I look at you, I think you all on fire for God. I think that you haven't missed a beat. That you are stronger in your faith now than the day you became a Christian. But then why did God give me this word that I've been working on for a long time? Is it because you and I are not the same? We're not moving forward. But in our faith, we have become indifferent and unimpressed. Friends, I look at you and I'm saying, hey, Keith, you're killing these people's time, man. Hey? You're wasting time, man, talking about this. But in obedience to God, here we go. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 1 to 7, we're going to read. That's our passage for today. The company of the prophet said to Elisha, let me just say this was the school of prophecy, and Elisha was the teacher. They said to him, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied. And he went with them. And they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, no, my Lord, he cried. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Friends, this event took place in the 8th century BC, before Christ. It's about an incident that happened with an unnamed prophetic student and with Elisha the prophet. You remember that Elisha had been Elijah's student. But when Elijah was taken away into heaven in a chariot of fire and horses, Elisha became God's chosen successor to Elijah. And God richly blessed Elisha's ministry, giving him a double portion of God's Holy Spirit. And God richly blessed Elisha's ministry for 50 years. And it was characterized by many exciting miracles. The text begins by telling us of a problem at the school of prophets. Apparently, their building had become too small for them. So they asked permission from their teacher, Elisha, to go down to the Jordan River where trees were growing and to cut down some trees to build a new building for their school. And the prophet Elisha said, by all means, let's go. And he was invited to go with them and so on. So they head down to the Jordan River to build a new college building, campus. And when they arrived, they immediately began to work at cutting down the trees. Each prophetic student was doing his part. And when one of the young prophets was cutting down a tree, the axe head, the iron axe head, flew off the handle of the axe and fell into the Jordan River, sinking to the bottom of the flowing water. The young student lost his axe head. The young student lost his cutting edge. He lost his effectiveness of doing his work. The question I ask the church, the folk at the church, is, have you lost your cutting edge, friends, in serving the Lord? Have you lost your effectiveness in doing the work of God? As I said at the beginning, some of you are saying, heck no, Keith, I haven't missed a beat. I'm more on fire for God than ever before. But others are saying, well, it's not the same anymore. Were you at one time swinging your axe with great vigor in service for God, chopping away with all your heart and soul and your mind and your strength in building up the kingdom of God? But somehow, somewhere along the way, you lost your cutting edge. You lost your effectiveness, friends. You lost your zeal and your enthusiasm and your zest and your passion. It's not like it used to be. Friends, if you have lost your cutting edge, you need to ask God to help you get it back. You need to ask God to help you get it back. And there's a couple of things in this passage that teach us how we can get this cutting edge back for the Lord. The first thing, friends, is like the young prophet, we must admit that we've lost our cutting edge. You must admit it. That was the first step the prophet had to take. He had to admit that he no longer had his cutting edge, that he had lost his effectiveness. He was busy doing important work for God, but suddenly he no longer was effective. To admit that we have a problem is the first step, friends, and often it's the most difficult step. We see in many examples around us where admitting that one has a problem is the first step in the healing process. I was telling the folk at the church that Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, is the most successful organization in the whole world. You know why? Everybody at that belongs to the AA has to admit that he or she is an alcoholic. That's the first step. The young student could have reacted in various ways. Instead of admitting that he had a problem, he could have thought of all kinds of things. He could have firstly been happy that he had lost his axe head. He could have used it as an excuse to stop working for God altogether. He could have blamed the fellow next to him. It's his fault I lost it. He could have found a nice place under the tree and poured himself an iced tea and just watched all the people do the work. He could have said, man, I've got it made. I'll let the young ones do it now. He could have said, when someone asked him, what's the problem? He could have said, what problem? I don't have a problem. He could have just kept swinging that handle. Without an axe head mounted at the end, just going through the motions of cutting down trees, making a lot of noise, but accomplishing absolutely nothing. And did you catch what he said? Oh, my Lord, the axe was borrowed. It wasn't even his. Friends, iron axes was very rare in the 8th century BC. Very expensive. And being a student, we know that all students are poor. So if someone had not loaned him the axe, he would not have been able to work. But it makes you think and consider the fact that all our abilities, all our talents, all our gifts, all our resources are not ours either. They are borrowed. They are on loan to us from God. So remember that no one has permission to stop working for God until he or she enters rest in heaven. Friends, if we have lost our cutting edge for the Lord in doing his work, the first thing we have to do is to say, I admit it. I admit it. It's not like before. It's not like before. Before we couldn't get enough. We couldn't be together enough. We couldn't be worshiping enough together. We couldn't be ministering tonight, going on missions. We couldn't be reaching out to the community, going on prayer walks. We couldn't do enough. But now it's blasé. And I'm not pointing fingers at you, because as I told you, to me, you are on fire for God. But friends, listen. We got to acknowledge and admit that we have a problem. Each of us, listen, even young Clarence and his team, they know they had to do something for God. And they went to go and sell cookies, whatever, chips, because they knew they want to do that for God. Every one of us have something to do for God, friends. We've been given a job to do. We are responsible for cutting down our share of trees for the building up of the kingdom of God. Secondly, like the young prophet, we need to determine the exact spot where we lost our cutting edge. Have you had the problem of misplacing things? I know I have. When someone loses something, for example, car keys, one of the first things we ask them is, do you remember where you were when you last had them? Isn't that true? Elisha asked basically the same question to this young prophet. Where did it fall? The young student didn't plan to lose his cutting edge. It just happened, friends. And though I want to preach a sermon about this, let me just say, no one intends to drift away from God. No one wakes up one morning, stretches, and says, you know what? I'm going to drift away from God from today onwards. It happens, friends. It just happens. And isn't that the way it is with us? Somewhere along the road, we had the tendency to lose our contributions to the building up of God's kingdom. And like the student, we didn't plan for it to happen. As a matter of fact, something similar happened to Peter in the New Testament. You know that Peter said to Jesus, though everyone else at times stop serving you, Lord, not me. I will never stop. You say, where did he say that, Keith? Okay, let's listen. In Matthew 26, verse 32, and in two verses later, in verse 35, listen to what Peter said. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will, he said. He said to Jesus. Verse 35, no, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. Luke said in 22, verse 33, yeah, Peter's opening his mouth, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. And then what happened one day, friends? Even faithful Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times until the cock crowed. Friends, if we ever get to a point where we have lost our cutting edge in doing God's work, we need to remember that our cutting edge was left where we had last seen it, where we had it lost. Maybe we need to ask some other questions too, like why did we lose our cutting edge? Was it because of COVID-19 and we are now afraid of getting sick? Was it when we dropped out of Bible study because we feel that it's not important anymore to know the Word of God? Was it when I stopped attending church or connecting through Zoom to worship services on a regular basis? Was it because I was angry with someone? Someone made me mad in the church. Did you lose your cutting edge because you stopped praying or reading the Bible on a regular basis? Have you lost your cutting edge for the Lord because you failed to witness to someone he gave you an opportunity to? Did you lose your cutting edge when you stopped tithing? Giving back to the Lord that which was already his? Or when you stopped caring for the Lord's work? Yeah. Did you lose your cutting edge because of some personal sin that has entangled your life? Or have you lost your cutting edge because you're not using the talents and the gifts and the ministry and the resources that God gave to you? Or did you lose your cutting edge because money and career and things and pleasure all became more important than the work of God? If you have the courage to take a serious look at your personal spiritual life today, friends, this sermon is not for Johnny, who lives down the road. It's for me. It's for you. Friends, listen. You can discover where you lost that cutting edge in service to God. If you ask God, we can be sure he will help us find the answers. When the young prophet lost his cutting edge, in order to get it back, firstly, he had to admit that he didn't have his cutting edge anymore. Secondly, he had to determine the exact place where he lost it. He didn't just say, well, it was somewhere in this river. You know, this river's long. It could be down there. It could be up there. No, no. He had to point to the exact place where it fell in. He had to acknowledge where he lost it. And third thing he did, and the third thing we must do, is that we must act out our part in recovering our cutting edge. Friends, don't depend on someone else to get it back for you. Don't say it's someone else's job to put it in my hands, to give it back. Elisha wasn't a magician. He was a chosen prophet of God Almighty. The power Elisha had to perform miracles was not his own power. It was the power of God. Elisha threw in the stick and the axe head floated to the surface of the water. Friends, the miracle on the part of Elisha not only shows us that Elisha was concerned about this young prophet's problem, but more importantly, this miracle shows us that God is deeply concerned and that God cares about every problem. I think this miracle clearly illustrates, friends, some basic truths about God, that God is concerned with you as an individual. Listen, that day there was a crowd of young prophets, prophetic students, who were cutting down trees. Yet God took the time to help the one who had a problem. God is concerned, deeply concerned with the individual. If you can hear my voice today, listen, friend. The Holy Spirit is just saying something now. God is concerned about you. God is concerned about you. Don't say he should be concerned about John Brown. No, God is concerned about you, friends. We see the teachings in Jesus about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, that prodigal son. You and I are very valuable to him. We are so valuable to God that he said he created us in his own image. Another truth here is that with God, there is no small, there are no problems too small for to bring to his attention. You say, but Keith, you know, I'm so insignificant. Who cares? God cares, friend. And what your problem is, he is very concerned about it. He's very concerned. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Bob put this on our notice board at the church. He said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Do you see that, friends? cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Do you have a problem or a concern today? Then cast that on the Lord. A man losing his axe head may not seem like a big deal at all, but to God, it was a big deal. God not only cares about you and is concerned about your problem, but God wants you to solve your problem that in turn will return honor and glory back to him. God will cause the solutions to float to the surface, as it were. Let's talk about what this young student did to get his cutting edge back. His work didn't end when he admitted he had a problem. It didn't end when he sought help from the prophet. But did you notice that Elisha did not retrieve the axe head for him? Elisha didn't get in the water and say, wait, you hold on, buddy, I'll get it for you. Elisha could have just using the power, the miraculous power that flowed through him. Elisha could have caused that axe head to float to the surface, come flying through the air into the hand of the prophet, the young prophet. But you know what? He didn't. Why? Because God wanted this young man to get involved in his own recovery, friend. Do you see that? God wanted him to reach out his hand and recover the axe head himself. So, friends, take a serious look at your cutting edge in doing God's kingdom work. Many have adopted the motto of the world. The world's motto these days is, what can the church do for me? What can the church do for me? I personally know people who are so fed up with the church that they want nothing to do with the church. You know why? The church hasn't been doing enough for them. You know what, friends? Far too often Christians look to the local church as a place to be served rather than a place to serve. This is a great text that we put on the screen, and I'm glad it's in the Bible. But do you know that this young prophet could have avoided all these problems if only he checked on the axe head occasionally? If he had stopped, checked if it's loose, made the adjustments, tightened things up, and so on. He could have avoided all this here, friends. We need to check out our spiritual tools on a regular basis. When is the last time you did this? When did you check out your spiritual tools to determine if they are still good? Yes, a list of spiritual tools that we can keep an eye on. How is your prayer life? Do you have a prayer life? Do you spend time with God in devotion on a regular basis? Do you attend church and Bible study regularly? Do you serve the Lord in your church? Do you give God the very best of your resources? Is there a sinful behavior or attitude that's rotting the wood around your axe head, making it very loose? Do you look for opportunities to share Jesus with other people? Is Jesus really at the center of your life? These are tools we got to keep checking on. If you answered any of these questions in a negative way, chances are that you are not chopping down too many trees for the kingdom, and you are probably not effective anymore as a worker in God's kingdom. Friends, when we check our tools on a regular basis, We can make small occasional adjustments. We can just keep them going. But listen, the enemy, the devil, he does not want us to be involved in serving God. He would prefer us to sit and do nothing. He would prefer us to have damage to our work rather than good. He prefer us to be blasé. Friends, let me say that this is that as long as there is breath in our body, we can always get our cutting edge back. God has not written you off. Eh? You are alive. You know where you were. You know how God used you. And now he wants you to come back. Samson, in conclusion, I was telling the church about Samson. He was someone who lost his cutting edge. He didn't even know he lost it. Even when the Philistines, or the Philistines, as some people say, came to arrest him after Delilah had cut his hair, Samson still thought he could shake himself free. Scripture says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. And then the Philistines took him in chains, in shackles. They gouged out his eyes and threw this mighty warrior into prison. And while in that prison, blinded and forced to grind wheat like an animal, go around and around, he was mocked and abused. And I think you would all agree that Samson was not an effective servant of God. And throughout his seemingly endless days in the prison cell, he had time to think, to determine what happened in his life that brought him to such a low point. Ah, and then Samson found out that his cutting edge was right where he left it. And he reached out to God. He repented of his great wickedness and he returned to God. Isn't that marvelous, friends? Then Samson prayed to God to restore his strength, and God did. And this blind and beaten up man placed his hand on the giant pillars of the pagan temple and brought it down. It came tumbling down. And the Bible says that Samson destroyed more of God's enemies when he returned to God than all the days before. That was his greatest victory. Friends, do you feel ineffective like Samson must have felt as he was going around grinding the grain, the wheat? Just going through the motions. Okay, it's that now. All right, it's this now. Do you want to once again serve God and be effective, an effective servant in the kingdom? God cares and he will help you make a comeback. And you may do more in the years to come than you did in the years before. Reach out to God and get your cutting edge back. If you are here today and you're a Christian, you say, yes, Keith, I'm a Christian. I'm a sold out, born again, blood washed, spirit filled Christian. God is saying, look here, I want you to become an effective worker, an effective servant in the kingdom. I want you to help me build the kingdom of God. You say, Lord, I need some help. I need to make some repairs. And God is saying, yes, it's where you left it. If you're not a Christian, yeah, you come on the screen and you all smiled and we love you, man. but you're not a Christian yet. God not only cares for Christians and those with axes, he cares for you too, friend. And that's why he sent his son to die, so that you too can join in the great work of God. And he wants you to join in building up his kingdom this morning. Amen. Father, I know that there are some mighty Christians here, Lord. We look up to them, we get inspired by them. They never cease to amaze us. They are such an inspiration. They are so faithful. They have not missed a beat. They have their cutting edge sharp and they are busy working for you and in the kingdom. We say thank you so much for them. But some of us, Lord, need your help. We admit it's not like it used to be. We blame COVID and stuff. We've blamed others. We said the church hasn't done much for us lately. We have stopped working. We have become blasé, indifferent, unimpressed. We're not excited and full of zeal and enthusiasm and zest and passion, no, sir. We've lost that. And we know where we left it. It was when we did this, that, and the other. And you have miraculously brought it within reach of us this morning. And you say, come back. Come back and receive it. Retrieve it. Take it. Help each one here, Lord God. Help us all, Lord, to serve you faithfully, even in this trying times. Help us to be faithful to you. As the songwriter says, keep me true, Lord, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Those words of that song have become our prayer. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.